This is an audio summary for your AIL 80101 course. The reading is a video interview. NVIDIA's Jensen Huang on the AI revolution, job losses, and what drives him. This summary is built from published coverage of the interview, primarily the full transcript published by the Hsinchu Post, plus reporting from The Street and 24/7 Wall Sent, rather than from the video itself. The interview you were assigned is a roughly 56-minute conversation between NVIDIA Chief Executive Officer Jensen Huang and CN, a correspondent Victoria Jen, recorded in Taipei in May 2026. CNA is a Singapore-based international broadcaster. Huang was there for NVIDIA's GTC Taipei event, and the setting matters a little because Taiwan sits at the heart of almost everything he talks about. He spent the night before dinner with TSMC founder Morris Chang. He kept referring to the island, its engineers, its energy constraints, its future. This is not a Silicon Valley PR sit-down. It is a conversation between a man who grew up in Taiwan and a region that built the chips underneath the AI boom. Let's start with the framework, because Huang opens with one and it is worth hanging on to throughout your coursework. He describes AI not as a model or a chatbot, but as a five-layer cake. At the bottom is energy, raw power generation. Next come chips, which is where NVIDIA sits. Above that is infrastructure, land, data centers, the cloud software that turns chips into a service. Then the model layer, which is what most people think of when they think about AI, and at the top, applications, the actual impact on industries and society. His point is that when you analyze AI only at the model layer, you miss most of the story. Every layer below the model is being built out simultaneously, and every layer is creating jobs, investment, and supply chain pressure right now. That five-layer framing is directly useful for AI infrastructure strategy questions. When your week 7 content asks you to think about security setup and monitoring in AI infrastructure, you can anchor it in Huang's stack. Securing the energy layer looks different from securing the chip supply chain, which looks different again from securing the data center, the model, or the application endpoint. Infrastructure strategy means understanding which layer you are responsible for. Now, the most quoted section of the interview, and the one that generated the most coverage, is his take on job losses. Companies like Amazon and Microsoft had been citing AI as a reason for laying off tens of thousands of workers. Huang called that out directly. I think the narrative that connects AI to job loss for many of the CEOs that are doing it is just too lazy. Then he pressed the timeline. How is it possible that AI became productive and useful only 6 months ago, and they were somehow laying people off 2 years ago because of AI? It doesn't make any sense. It was just a way for them to sound smart. And I really hate that. That is a pointed argument from someone who sells the chips those same companies are buying. His logic is chronological. Generative AI only became enterprise deployable within the last couple of years. If a company was cutting headcount before that window and is now attributing the cuts to AI, the math does not work. Huang's view is that AI is a cover story for decisions that have older, less flattering causes. Things like overhiring during cheap capital years or a strategic pivot away from underperforming lines. He goes further at GTC Taipei, telling CNBC's Jim Cramer, "For companies with imagination, you will do more with more. For companies where the leadership is just out of ideas, they have nothing else to do." That is the sharper version. It is not just that blaming AI is lazy, it signals a failure of strategic imagination. Huang is drawing a line between organizations using AI to expand and organizations using AI language to shrink while calling it transformation. His message to workers is brisk. You're not going to lose your jobs to AI. You're going to lose your job to somebody who learned AI better than you. He compares the current moment to the arrival of the personal computer. The PC did not eliminate work. People who refused to engage with it got left behind. Same story with the internet, then mobile, then cloud. He believes it is very likely there will be more jobs in 5 years than today, citing the 150-year track record of GDP growing at roughly 2% annually through every previous wave of transformative technology. Each wave changed which jobs existed. None of them arrested the overall growth. On what drives him personally, the interview shifts register. He is candid in a way that does not often show up in prepared remarks. Asked how he sustains working 7 days a week, he says, "I'm exhausted all the time." What keeps him going, he says, is two things pulling in opposite directions simultaneously. One is the fear of failure, which he traces back to how deeply difficult it was to build NVIDIA through its early years. Once you've struggled as deeply as NVIDIA has, and as I've had the benefit of, it becomes part of your character and it never leaves you. The other is optimism and ambition, a dreamer who wants to see a specific future arrive within his own lifetime. Both things, the dread and the dream, run at the same time. On leadership style, he is self-aware. He describes his management approach as torture the same way that Taiwanese parents torture people. A Taiwanese parent, nothing is ever good enough. And you can't go a day without some criticism. He says NVIDIA's employee retention is among the best in the world precisely because he sees his job as creating the conditions for people to do their life's work, not just their day job. He is never soft on the work. He is always soft on the person once the feedback is given. It is a specific distinction and worth sitting with. The interview also covers China, Taiwan's geopolitical position, and NVIDIA's supply chain. Huang believes two separate AI ecosystems, one US-led and one China-led, are possible but not wise. He argues that the more technology leaders, political leaders, and social leaders cooperate on AI, the better the outcome for everyone. Cooperation and competition are not mutually exclusive. NVIDIA competes with many of its customers and partners daily while also depending on them. He applies the same logic to the US-China relationship. On the future of leadership, he offers something worth filing away. He says that in the era ahead, when writing code and solving scientific problems are largely automated, what remains as a genuine differentiator is ambition, character, imagination, empathy, and the kinds of generosity that make people around you want to see you succeed. In a course about AI infrastructure, that observation is easy to skip. Do not. Huang is describing a shift in what human capital means in an environment where technical knowledge becomes a commodity. That is exactly the strategic question an executive should be sitting with. As for what drives him, his most direct answer comes near the end of the interview. He says he hopes to die on the job. I can't imagine a more meaningful life. His family, including both children, works at NVIDIA. His wife has attended every conference, every speech, every milestone of the company. The work and the life are not separate things for him. They are the same thing. Whether that is a model worth emulating is a different question, but it is an honest answer. That is your summary of Jensen Huang's conversation with CNA. Use the 5-layer cake, stay in the game, and do not let someone else learn the tools before you do.